Are you ready to take the lead in the dance of life? Fall in love with who you are right now? And find uninhibited joy every day? Then it's time for you to flaunt your smart, sexy, and spiritual self. Join radio host Laura Cheadle and learn how the five steps of flaunt can help you quit seeking approval, proving your worth, and release you from the judgment of others. Express all that you are, discover your naked self-worth, and finally, enjoy the life you've worked so hard to create. Hello, welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and I've got a really, really fun guest for us today. If you've been listening to my show for a while, you know that I am all about moving into the magic, following your heart, expressing yourself fully, whether that's through music or dance or painting or gardening or raising kittens or whatever it is that speaks to your soul. I am all about helping people transcend the normal every day and moving into their hearts and their passions so they can express themselves fully, not just once a week when they're on vacation, but every day, so they can actually enjoy the life that they have worked so hard to create. Today's guest is an amazing woman. She is amazing, oh my gosh, for so many different reasons, but one of the things that I appreciate about her so much, and I'm stuttering because I'm just like, my head is just overflowing with things, but she has leaned in to so many different areas of passion for herself. And because of her ability to say yes, she has really created a lot of magic for herself in her life. And she has also created a lot of magic for other people. At just 4 years old, Empress, that is my guest, Empress, and that is her alter ego, just like Socrates is my alter ego, and we'll get into that later. But at just 4 years old, Empress's life was changed when her hands touched the black and white keys of a keyboard for the very first time. Her love for music evolved into a career as a professional dancer, speaks to my heart, and she was one of the youngest members of San Francisco Ballet. As her talents developed, Empress moved to New York City, where she performed on Broadway, yes, on Broadway in New York, as the lead in the Tony Award-winning production of An American in Paris, which is fabulous. Today, her career comes full circle as she creates music as a singer and songwriter, but she will never stop dancing. Her and I both will never stop dancing. So with that, welcome to the show, Empress.
Thank you so much for having me. That was an incredible introduction, Laura. My goodness. I love when women support women. And I want you to know how much I love and adore everything that you're doing. It's amazing.
Thank you so much for that. And, you know, the feelings of adoration and respect are very mutual.
Thank you.
So, one of the things that I hear a lot from the listeners of the show and from the women that I work with is life is such a grind and it's the same old, and well, I've already trained in this one thing, so I might as well just do it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not for you.
No.
I'd love for you to share a little bit of your story. You know, with the listeners, you were very accomplished, and I know from my stint in ballet, you don't just say, oh, I'm going to be a ballet dancer and spend a year training. And then, you know, you spent years dedicating yourself to this. And same with, you know, music and being a singer-songwriter. The areas that you have moved into are areas that require a lot of passion and dedication. And I'd love for you to tell your story about that.
Sure. Yeah. It all started with music. You know, I think there was definitely something about music that I connected with. I mean, we all kind of feel it. I think especially as children, we all understand music. It, it causes emotions. It's, you know, you see your parents like cry when they hear a song or laugh and sing. And so I think for me, I had this really great ear for music that I didn't know I had. I just sort of fell into it because my grandmother gave us a piano when I was 4 years old. And of course, no one in my family knew how to play. So now there's this new piece of furniture in our house, and it makes noise. So I crawl up on, you know, the bench every day and just sort of doodle. You know, there's no right or wrong for children until we're told what's right and wrong. So there was no right or wrong. My mom and dad never put those limitations on me as a child, which is really nice. And so I just started doodling and I started composing. And of course, you know, the one of the first things that I've ever composed has been a melody that I write into my music nowadays, just for fun, just because I like to bring it full circle. So it all started with music. And then I started moving to music and finding that connection. I was the oldest, I was the firstborn in my family. So my parents just, you know, enrolled me in dance class because that's what you do with little girls, right? So I went to my first dance class. I cried the entire time. The teacher handed me back to my mom at the end and said, she's not ready for this. So like another year went by. The teacher ended up seeing us at the beach when I was 6 years old, and she remembered me because I was hell to her for an entire hour, you know, a year earlier. She goes, I think she's ready to take ballet class. I think you should take her back. And then that was it. It was like, I was in ballet class for, you know, 20 years and it never got old. And I just kind of worked really, I guess, hard and smart. I learned the smart part kind of young. And that just kind of, you know, when you love something so much, it doesn't feel like work. And you just kind of keep, in a weird way, like falling forward. So I kept falling forward, getting to the next level, kind of finding new teachers. It all led to San Francisco Ballet School, where I ended up getting a full scholarship. I grew up in a small town, so this was like a big deal. I was in a small town of Lake Tahoe, California, and there's very little performing arts in that area. And there's no one in my family who had ever danced like this before. So I didn't have someone that was planting seeds like, this is what you want to do. It was like, just sort of kept falling forward. and so I got onto Broadway I got into the ballet school, full scholarship. I ended up getting invited back after a summer intensive for the year-round program, which was kind of a big deal because, you know, out of all the kids that auditioned for the summer intensive, they only accept 24 kids in each level. And then the school year, it's only 12. So it's a very small group of kids that get accepted into the school. And so that was like an opportunity that I could not say no to. And, you know, my schooling was amazing, but I was only there for about a year before I got hired. So I was 16 when I got hired at San Francisco Ballet, which was like a total dream come true. And we'll go into that in a second. I'm just painting the broad strokes right now. But I danced for San Francisco Ballet for 11 years, traveled the world doing what I love to do. And that led to a show on Broadway because the choreographer that I'd worked with throughout my entire 11-year career was the director and choreographer for An American in Paris. And so that's how that all tied in together. Because I, you know, I always joke my audition for American in Paris was 11 years, you know, so it was a long time coming. And he knew I could sing from a show that I did in San Francisco Ballet where they actually had us sing, which is amazing. What are the odds of that ever happening? So I ended up finding my voice in the silent world of ballet. And, you know, from then, I guess he was in the audience that night when I sang. And so he remembered, you know, when he was casting the show on Broadway. And so I ended up getting to do An American in Paris on Broadway when, you know, it was just an incredible experience on so many levels. From we opened the show, the previews were in Paris, so we were Americans in Paris. I mean, like, it was incredible. The Tony Awards, we were nominated for 12 Tony Awards, and like it was such a whirlwind of it's an incredible experience that I'll never forget, and I'm always going to cherish that because it opened up this door from being in the silent world of ballet to where I was always connected to music because I physically could dance to the sounds, the music, and it was beautiful. But then all of a sudden I was immersed into this new environment where we sing and dance and listen to this incredible Gershwin music. And it was a door that opened, and now it wasn't a revolving door. Let's just put it that way. So now I'm in this loud, world, and I can't shut up. And so that's how I kind of came into singing and songwriting, and that kind of brought me full circle back to where I started my love of music. So I'm Empress now, and that's our broad stroke long story.
No, that's perfect. And there's several things that I appreciate about that, and I just want to, highlight, bookmark, so listeners can also maybe pay attention to some of those bookmarks or highlights in their own life. I love how things came full circle. I too feel like my journey in life has brought me full circle. Yeah. I liked how you said you climbed up on the piano at age 4 and you felt something and your parents didn't put the rules around it, but it was still something that you loved. But that was maybe not the time to do it, and that was okay. And then the same thing with ballet. I too was in ballet. I danced with Colorado Ballet for one season, and it was great and it was fun, but it was a season. And right. You weren't quite ready when you were little. I was not ready to go on with. I mean, there's so many things that we can do, and it's not a failure, or it's not like, oh, if I only would have started piano way back then. There's just seasons. And and falling forward. Brilliant.
And yeah, I love that. And actually, it's interesting too, because my parents would, they would always let, because I have two younger siblings who are also very talented in their own right, but we were all very different from each other. And my husband asked, how did you guys have three talented kids, but in very different things? And my mom actually said, I let my children get good at one thing, and then we could learn like the formula of getting really good at one thing. The one thing that they would probably learn is that they have to focus 100% when they're doing that one thing, right? Like when you're skiing, you just focus on skiing. You don't think about dancing. And that kind of separation kind of helped us get to the next level of whatever we wanted to do with our life. But it kind of started with building a formula that we understood what goes into becoming really good at whatever you want to do, and then being able to apply that to something else, but not doing everything all at once, right? So it was like, going back to what you were saying, I knew I wanted to do all of these things in my life, but you can't do them all at the same time. I mean, now I'm able to kind of bring all of the things that I love into one environment with Empress, but it's been, 20 plus years of me accumulating one thing at a time.
Yes, yes. And I love that formula of what you're doing. Do it with your whole heart, your whole soul, with your whole passion.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Because you're that. Right. Then there's so much energy that we spend transitioning between swim lanes.
Right. Oh, gosh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been told that I was almost confusing as an artist because I was trying to do too many things at once. So that can be frustrating as an artist. This is the first time as like discovering what Empress was for me was actually just being the ruler over my own life and actually building my own kind of palace or empire, if you will, that can support all of the things in one place where it's not confusing for people. Are you a singer? Are you a dancer? Who wrote the song? Oh, you wrote the song. Okay, well, who produced it? Because they have to be two separate people. And then as a dancer, it's like, well, you can, you're really good at this one style of dance. And so that's all we're going to let you do. Even if I could do something else, it was like, no, but she's typecast a certain way. Or going to Broadway, I was known as the prima ballerina on Broadway. And then coming to the ballet, I was the Broadway star. It was like, why can't I just be a ballerina when I'm here? You know, like the labels that you have to constantly strip off that people want to put on you, that can be exhausting. But, you know, when you do one thing very well, and then you could add one thing at a time into a place, then that's empowering. Let's just put it that way.
It is. And that's one of the things that I really love about Empress and building the empire and all of that. It's very similar to what I talk about in terms of the alter ego. I'm Laura, the competent lawyer, the, you know, corporate wife, all of this stuff. But I'm also Socrates, the fun burlesque dancer who, you know, is...
Love that.
Yeah, boisterous and different. And those two things can coexist. And same thing with you. You can dance a variety of different styles and sing and write and produce. And I just so appreciate and love Empress. It's your empire and you can do whatever you darn well please there.
Exactly. I love that. Yeah. Thank you for just reinstating that. That's exactly how I feel. And building that alter ego up, it was really fun because it brought me back to my childhood when I was a dreamer. You know, I was like, I love dreaming about what I was going to be and what I was going to do when I grow up. And kind of becoming Empress brought me back to that, only with the adult knowledge that I've accumulated through all of these different careers. It was so much fun to go back almost as a child, but knowing what I know now, and yes, dream from there and kind of deciding what that is, you know. And Empress for me is essentially, it's being the ruler over your own life and doing a self coronation and owning your own crown and then empowering other people to do the same thing, because that's, you know, that's really the point, is that I'm not ruling over you, Laura. No. You're an Empress over your own life, and, you know, and we can come together, but we don't need one another. We enhance each other, you know?
Yes. Exactly. And just same thing. My term is, you know, being a life choreographer, helping people choreograph their life. Thank you.
I love that. That
it's the same as Empress, but it's different. It's not like you have to do one and you can't do the other. It's I can help you choreograph your life and you can help, you know, rule your own life. I mean, that's what is so nice about it. We all want different things. And it doesn't matter.
And that's okay. Yeah.
Yes. Or at what time, because life is long and it's not that we have to stay on this path because we started it when we were 16. I mean, when you started at 16, that's young.
Yeah, it is a very baby ballerina kind of, you think you're so mature for your age and you're treated as though you should know all the things that an adult knows, but you are not an adult. I was still a girl. So that was rough kind of.
Oh, I bet it was.
In a lot of ways. There's a lot of wake up calls or, and I have to say too, ignorance was bliss, in a lot of ways. And I try and keep a little bit of that and, you know, to kind of like see the world through rainbow glasses, you know, it's like, it's a kind of okay, especially in a world like the ballet, where if you take things personally, or if you really do know all the politics, it can really turn you into a bitter Betty Davis, you know, like puff, puff, let me tell you something, honey. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it was better to not know sometimes. So that's okay.
I love that you said that, because I find that I think the same thing is true for a lot of women in corporate too. It's so easy to get discouraged and to be like, yeah, women aren't paid as much as men, and now I'm working twice as hard and he was hired above me, or I'm just the token female. And it's so easy to get locked into that negativity.
Yeah. I found that just in general, I was born with this thing from my dad gave it to all of the kids. We have this thing, we joke about it all the time, that he's got loser's amnesia. He never remembers losing ever. And so that was something that we all kind of grew up with, where, you know, even if he lost like a tennis match, let's say, like badly to my mom, you know, he'd come home and be like, wow, I played so good today. And my mom would be like, you lost. Like it was like 0-0, you know? And he would just kind of be like, oh, but my points were really good. You know, he'd always look on the bright side of life, and he kind of instilled that in all of us kids. And I don't think I could have survived the careers that I did unless I had the positive outlook. And I really think that life is too short to focus on the negative, because there's so many more positives in life that if you choose to focus on them, you actually start seeing more of them. And so, yes, you know, so I think that that to me is something that I'll always keep and not sweat the small stuff and, you know,
just... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point. When you talk about the professions that you were in, they are very cutthroat. There are very few people who make it to the top in any of those professions. And you didn't start off with that preconceived notion that, well, I'm never going to make it, and this is awful. And
yeah, you know, it was so cool because my mom really did enhance our dreaming. She'd always say, dream big. And then she'd say, dream bigger, you know? So there was a lot of dreaming going on in our household, especially when I was a kid. And there were a lot of really cool things that I read that my mom would kind of like push in front of me. But for instance, like when I was 12, and I read this article about a dancer in San Francisco Ballet that was hired at 16, and there was this beautiful picture of her holding a ballet bar with all these beautiful windows in this gorgeous studio, and she talked about her career. She was retiring within the next couple of years, I think, and the year I got hired was the year that she retired. And I ended up, you know, everyone has like their bar spots where they warm right. up at the same place. And like, if you are a new dancer and you steal a bar spot for someone, I saw your face. You're like, oh, yeah, you do not do that. Yeah, you do not do that. Oh, ignorance again. But I saw that bar spot, you know, from afar. And I was like, when my first day of work, I thought, oh, she just retired. Like, what are the odds? Now I can take that bar spot. And so I remember holding on to that bar. It was that perfect, circle of life where someone leaves and somebody gets hired. And I remember looking in the mirror at myself thinking, oh my gosh, I can check this off my list of things to do. This is like a dream come true, you know, wow moments, you know, in life. And then that kind of carries you forward to dream for another one, because then it gives you the affirmation that like, no, my dreams always come true. So there was never like a doubt in my mind, even though, you know, there were all kinds of doubts that could have crept in, but I was so focused on just getting to that moment. And then once I achieved that moment, I believed in my dreams even more. So then why can't this happen? And you know, just the whole, even just getting a job on Broadway, I was the last person that was hired. I told my massage therapist, who's, I call him Master Yoda, because he just has these like mic drop moments sometimes where he'll say something and it's like, wow, you know, your head explodes. And he, so I told him, I want to go on Broadway. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, get on Broadway. And when I get on Broadway, I want to buy myself a Chanel purse. And that was like, you know, a goal that I set for myself. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I want a nice purse to like, you know, that's like my symbol. And he goes, well, I think you should live life as if you've already achieved it and go out and buy that Chanel purse. So I spent some time shopping and looking around, which purse do I want to buy? And I had auditioned for American in Paris and didn't hear back. And I guess if you don't like people on Broadway, they, if they don't get back to you, that means you didn't get the part. And if they don't get back to you in like a couple weeks, you definitely are not even in the running for anything. I just assumed that I was still in the running. I was like, I'm just waiting to hear back. I have no idea how long it takes them to figure it all out. 2 months go by, like definitely I'm not in the show. And I get the bag delivered the day I get a phone call from the director saying that one of the people that they had cast in the show didn't work out. And, you know, they were looking for, I mean, I found out the backstory of all of this after I got hired, but he basically right. said, we want you in the show. And he did this whole campaign to get me to leave San Francisco Ballet and come to Broadway and do this whole thing. And while I was on the phone with him, I get a knock on the door because I'd ordered my Chanel purse online. The Chanel purse arrived while I was on the phone 2 months after the audition. I mean, you can't make that stuff up, can you?
No. Oh, that's
So neat. So like living life as if you've already achieved your dream, sometimes the impossible can happen. And now knowing what I know about Broadway and getting cast in shows, there was no way that I was going to get into that show. And then all of a sudden I was, you know.
That was pretty cool. So neat. Okay, here's what I'm guessing that some of the listeners are thinking. I bet they're thinking, okay, you had a great childhood and you have this formula and your dad has loser's amnesia and your mom was saying dream bigger. But I can hear a lot of listeners saying, that wasn't my experience. How do I do this now? How do I do this now? And I didn't know if you had any, you know, tips or mind tricks that you could share with people who are thinking, yeah, my mom told me to be practical and my dad told me I wasn't worth anything.
Yeah, no, actually, within all of that, I know it sounds like rainbows and butterflies. I probably had one of the hardest careers and a lot of bumps along the road. There's so many teachers that told me I would never make it because I was in a small town and I wasn't trained and I might not have the body type when I grow up and go through puberty. And there was a teacher who used to call me dead in class because she didn't think that I looked alive when I was dancing. And there was evil things told to me and I was taken out of ballets because when I got hired in San Francisco Ballet, my body, I went through an entire change into womanhood while being in a ballet company, which is probably the most awful experience besides potentially being like a model or something, but you know, that it's just rough. And then backstabbing, you know, I found glass in my pointe shoes before. I mean, there's things that dancers do to get a role that are just insane. And it makes it really difficult to kind of like push forward when, the world judges you on your external beauty, not your inner beauty. And finding my inner beauty and knowing that it has nothing to do with the external and letting things like almost bounce off the bubble that I had to protect myself with every day. I mean, it just felt like I always had to sort of cover myself up with my own self-love in order to get through a day. Mm-hmm. It was the most empowering thing for me was to find if by taking care of myself on the inside and treating my body with as much respect and my mind filling it with positive things instead of letting the negative creep in and always kind of like patching up the leaks, you know, like in a way, you know, it's just like you just have to kind of constantly add good things and then push out anything that you know, is bad. I'm very, very selfish with what I put into my head. I'm very like, nope, you're not good enough to be in here. Like you come in here and, you know, it's all about you're in control over your own life and nobody else is. And kind of really realizing that by taking care of yourself, you can take care of other people, but you can't focus your life on trying to please other people because that's never going to happen. And, you know, my parents are wonderful people. There's times where I feel like I'm not pleasing them, or there are times when my director was, you know, taking me out of ballets because I didn't fit in with the other girls because I wasn't skinny enough or whatever it was. And, you know, sometimes you just got to go, well, fine. You know, in the long term, does this matter? No, it doesn't. The sun will always rise. The curtain will always rise. You will always be you tomorrow, right? So like, what's the common denominator that you have to kind of focus on is you. Mm-hmm. You can put all these things on you're the common denominator. You can put all these things on top, but they're all going to go away. You're always going to be you. So really just following your dreams, following your passion. You don't have to share your dreams with pigs. That's the thing. You don't share pearls with pigs. They don't know what they are. They'll try and destroy them or eat them or whatever, you know, but it's not for them. It's your life. And if you don't take ownership of this, who will? Mm-hmm. And I think that for me was the most empowering thing, especially turning into Empress was like, whoa, okay, how cool would the world be if everyone did this? And that's why I want to inspire people to just, there's so much insecurity with the crown usually, unless you self-coronate and you own it. Because if you look at royals, they don't own their crown. They're given the crown for their, you know, lifetime. But as soon as they're dead, they pass it the torch, which is why people kill for the crown. And that makes it a very insecure environment. But imagine not needing something from someone, you know, because you own your own crown. And what you could do with the world if people weren't pointing outwardly, if they always had to point inwardly and say, okay, this collective problem starts with each one of us from inside, not from pointing the finger outwardly. How can we change the world? It's by changing our own world from inside out. Yeah, you know. And for female empowerment, I feel like, you know, at least for me, empowering myself didn't come from the opposite sex. The empowerment does not come from the opposite sex. In fact, it doesn't come from the next person, you know, in the room. It's you. Your empowerment comes only from inside, you know. That's it.
Yes. Yes. And what I really appreciate about Empress, because I use this in myself, truly empowering ourselves does come from inside. We can't continue to seek accolades from other people and to think that it means anything, because it doesn't. And then that way we're always going to be going up and down based on how pretty we are, how skinny we are, how many, you know, roles we have, how many boyfriends we have, how much money we have, how many purses we have.
And it's and it never ends.
It's never
cycle. Yeah.
It never ends. And sometimes I use my own alter ego as a persona to step into, because I will be beat up and it will be hard and I will have let something in. I am 100% with you. And I always try to tell the people that I work with and friends, don't watch the shows. Don't listen to the social media.
Your choice. Yeah.
Yes.
It's up to us to change. And if each one of us did, that's how things change, you know.
Yes.
But it's not for making change happen, you know, and beating it into somebody else. It's just, that's not how change will ever
do it for you. And when you're falling apart and you can't do it, step into your alter ego. Empress can always do it. Chakra can always do it. If I'm worn out, chakra's not.
Yeah, I know. It's so true. And that it's like kind of, it's interesting how many wonderful people you attract into your life when you're doing it on your own and you're empowered. So you're actually, you know, essentially like on a airplane, they always say, put your oxygen mask on first and then on your children or your friends or whoever it is. Because if you don't put yours on, then you might not be able to help anyone, right? So I think the key right there is, you know, you will attract great people around you and, you know, kind of build this world that you want to be participating in, you want to co-create with, but it's yours. It's always yours. And it always comes down to who you are.
Mm-hmm. And as part of that too, you choose the thoughts that you think, you choose the media you consume, but you also choose the people that you let in your life. And I liked how you were talking about, you know, the pearls for the swine. You don't do that. You don't do that.
Right. And you know, I've been proved wrong so many more times than like I'll share something with someone that I think I can connect with. And then, you know, they turn around and there's backstabbing, whatever. That's normal. I actually don't blame them. It's just me, you know, like, oh, well, it was my decision to share that and it wasn't the right person. And, you know, like I've learned to almost like treasure and take care of my pearls more than ever, because, you know, nowadays it's just so easy. There's bullying that happens from behind a screen, which some of these people would never have the courage to say the things that they do on social media that they would in person, right? So, you know, it's an interesting time. And I think, you know, if you let those things bother you, that's you letting them bother you. Your reaction you're in control of that. And so, you know, there's something that happens in the ballet because they don't have time. Everyone in the ballet company that I was in is incredible. Like, that is just baseline. Everyone is an incredible dancer to even be in the room. So the ballet masters and people that are rehearsing you, they don't have time to give compliments because that would be all day, right? Like,
right.
Be like, oh my gosh, that turn was amazing. This was amazing. That was amazing. They actually just want to make it perfect, which is, you know, that's the impossible, but we strive for it anyway. And they make sure that, you know, that one girl that was out of line gets, you know, put back in line rather than everyone else getting applauded for being in a straight line, except for that one person or something. So it's, we shoot for perfection, but what you do in the ballet company is you just know that that's coming. So you put like kind of a invisible shield or a force field so that you take the correction, but that you don't take it to heart. Otherwise, I mean, I've seen girls take their corrections to heart and it ruins them, not only as a dancer, but as a human being. It eats away. And so you kind of really do have to make sure, I think, especially as women, to separate yourself in a way and kind of put some sort of invisible force field that you can protect yourself from, you know, like, mm-hmm. just, it's like a filter. You just filter. You go, okay, I'll stand in line now, you know,
right.
instead of taking it so personally, like, oh, I ruined the whole show. It's like, no, just next time do it right. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, totally. From my ballet days, it was, and I don't know if this was just a Colorado ballet thing or if it's in the whole ballet world.
Probably everybody, yeah.
Because I obviously was not, you know, to the level that you were at. But our belief was, if you get the first correction, it's a compliment because they're noticing you and you're worthy of being corrected. If you are absolutely horrible, nobody's going to bother correcting you anyway because you're not going to last long and they're not going to want to work with you.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
And sometimes I think as a kid in the school, especially San Francisco Ballet School, there were girls that had been there since they were like born basically. And here I am at 14 coming in pretty late in the game and trying to keep up with the girls. And the teacher had so much to work with me on that I thought she hated me. And then I remember my first meeting with the head of the school, and she literally I walk in and I was so nervous. I was like, she hates me. Like, this is not going to be fun at all because I'm just going to get in trouble for everything. And she's going to tell me I'm horrible, whatever. I walk in, she's like, I love you. And she just has me give her a hug right away. Not a hug person at all. I mean, I am, but she wasn't.
She wasn't.
And it was so classic because I remember just my little head exploding, being like, wait, what? She likes me? Like, I guess all of this being like awful to me is just to push me to the next level. I personally don't believe in that tactic. I think I've danced with so many choreographers, and the ones that are positive, that they say, great, more, good. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Now, and they like trust you as an artist to make their talent, their art, the most beautiful, incredible thing ever. And we kind of, we step up to the level that they want us to, and we actually exceed the level that we thought we could. And so it's just, I don't know. There's something about being negative that people think helps push people to the next level. It doesn't.
No.
Positivity would be much, much more beneficial for everybody. And they've proven that with lots of studies for children. You know, it's like little kids, they did a study actually, which went very sour, and they didn't stop it soon enough, but they had two separate groups, and they loved one group, like normal baby, you know, love. The other one, they just fed them, changed them, and they didn't talk to them. They didn't do anything. And these babies, some of them died from this experiment. I mean, it's like it's horrible, but that's probably the most powerful thing that you can learn about, you know,
humans
in general. So we thrive on love. We thrive on hope. We thrive on positivity, and not to shut out, you know, the fact that there is a, you know, a balance in this planet, in this universe, I guess I should say.
Yes.
Is that we need dark to have light, or understand the difference between them. So they're never going to wipe one out or push the other one out of the way. They need to have some balance, right? Mm-hmm. And just, I'm not saying there's none of that in the world. I'm just saying you decide, you know, how much you want to take in, and then you can also diffuse it into positivity anyways. I used to
absolutely.
Like take and be like, oh, it's because he likes me, or she's, you know, she just believes in me, and that's why she's giving me that, you know. So your reaction is exactly right. It's a compliment. They're right. correcting you. But if you take it personally, that will destroy
It'll destroy you. Yeah, it absolutely will. Well, we need to take a quick break for a commercial right now. And then when we get back, I want to walk you through the five steps of flaunt and have you just share your insight on each of those steps. So we will be back in just a minute.
To all the women who have cried in the shower, smiled when they wanted to scream, and couldn't wait to get home and unhook their bra, Flaunt is the definitive guidebook on how to get back in touch with who you are underneath your labels, roles, and scripts. Fall in love with yourself right now. Breathe life into the dreams you left behind and live each day with uninhibited joy. Pick up a copy of Laura Cheadle's number one best-selling book, Flaunt. Drop your cover and reveal your smart, sexy, and spiritual self wherever books are sold. It's available in print, digital, and audio formats and comes with two downloadable meditations.
And we are back with Empress, also known as Shannon Regani, and she has been sharing her journey from professional ballerina to performer on Broadway to singer, songwriter, and just her journey throughout her life on shielding and protecting herself, both from that internal negativity and from the external negativity, leaning in to her talents and into her passions and taking that formula for growth, which has really enabled her to excel in so many different areas of life. So welcome back, Empress. I am looking forward to walking you through the five steps of flaunt.
Me too. Thank you.
Yay. For listeners who might not know, flaunt is an acronym, and it stands for find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth. Now, as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, Empress started with music and then dance and then her voice and her song. It seems like you've had a lot of fetishes, a lot of passions over the years. And I'm just curious, and this is such an elusive question, but how it feels for you to find your fetish, how you know that it is that one thing that you want to lean into, because you were talking about doing one thing and doing one thing well. How do you decide what is that next thing? How does it feel to find your fetish? What does that look like for you?
I guess for me anyway, and I love this, by the way, Flaunt is just such a great, that's an incredible acronym. I'm so excited about this. But I guess for me, like finding the passions sometimes is up to you and sometimes it's not. And so for me, I felt like I was always led down a path and I was willing to walk down it in a way. Like it was an obvious choice for me, but I don't know what makes it obvious, to be honest. It's something that draws you in, that you have no sort of preconception of like what it's supposed to be like. You just know that you have to do it, and time doesn't matter and work doesn't matter because you don't think about it that way. I think for me, my passions have always felt like there was no other choice for me. That was the only thing that I was supposed to be doing, and that's the only thing I wanted to be doing, and it's the only thing that you know, I felt like I should be doing in a lot of ways. So for me, it's
that.
Being drawn, you know, drawn to something. And then one thing that I will point out is that every once in a while with like songwriting, for instance, there is a voice that we all have deep within us that whispers. And if you can even notice the whispers, I guess, is that's the key for maybe if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, try to listen. And there's been times where I almost realize there's a melody running through my head after the fact that it's like an obvious thing that's going through my head and I'm not listening. But then all of a sudden it'll be like, whoa, wait, there's a melody going on in my head. I need to go to the piano. Or there'll be like literally a whisper, like, go to the piano. We've got something for you. And just sort of, you run to the piano and the song happens and you almost feel like you weren't even a part of it. You were just a vessel that they were steering, you know? And when I say they, I don't know, you know, everyone believes in different things, but there's a whisper. And so if you don't know what your passion is, and there's been times where I've been confused, like, what am I supposed to be doing? The whisper, if you just quiet your mind, you can hear them sometimes. And if you can't hear them, ask for them to talk to you, because
yes,
it happens. So be open to that.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then the next step is a laugh out loud. Are you a funny person? Do you rely on humor? What is the role that humor takes in your life? Yeah.
I think there's more humor in life than we have time to laugh out loud to. And so if you can start just like, I mean, baby steps, just start with something that's slightly funny and then go to the next one. I mean, I was a total class clown everywhere I've ever worked. So if I go to the ballet, I was the class clown. I have a lot of legendary stories about me playing tricks on people and having fun. And, you know, everyone laughs when I'm in the room. I think that is a big compliment. When I was leaving the company, they actually said, oh my gosh, well, who's going to make us laugh? You know, it's just, so it was really cool. And then when I went to Broadway, I don't even think like I tried to be funny. I just was all immediately, like day one, someone called me the class clown and I was like, oh, I'll take it.
That's,
you know,
me.
I'll need one. but you know, just like being free to laugh and just like allowing yourself to react to things. I think right now with social media, it's really easy to laugh in our heads and we write LOL, but we're like not.
Yes.
So actually just kind of, I think in my acting training, they kind of unlocked a lot of those doors for me to just be like, oh, I can react like a human being does, you know? So when you're performing on stage in a ballet or on Broadway or something, you kind of have to, if something funny happens and you're in a sad scene, you really have to compartmentalize those feelings. So actually being honest and allowing things to happen and then being present when they happen and then reacting in the present. Mm-hmm. I think that's true comedy. And if you can find that, then you're in good hands. But yeah, laughing out loud is,
it's fun too. It's just fun.
And it's addicting. Addicting.
It really is.
Totally.
And then moving on to accept unconditionally. We addressed a little bit of this before, but we can plan, we can do our best, and we can think something's going to happen, and inevitably it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
And totally. Yeah. And it's like literally, you know, we can kill ourselves and give up and spiral into drama or depression. Or we can just accept unconditionally and move to the next thing. And I feel like you are really good at accepting what is. And I didn't know if you had any tricks or tips that you could share with the listeners on how they can get better at that.
I think when you see a situation and you're in it, it's harder to have any kind of perspective on things. So for me, I guess in my career, because I was in San Francisco Ballet for 11 years, and then on Broadway for 3 years, and doing other shows, and then now doing music and things. But seeing the big picture helped me so much more than getting kind of stuck in a situation that I had no perspective on. Because when I was in the company, there were times where I was taken out of a ballet that devastated me in a lot of ways. And this happened all the time when I was going through puberty. It was like rough. I just did not fit in with the other girls and it was just challenging. But now looking back, I learned something very valuable there, because maybe that season didn't work out for me, but the next season did. Or they would say, you're never going to do this part unless something, you know, changes. And then the change would come. And I was spending all this time stressing about not doing it. And then I was the only person left standing sometimes, you know, with injuries and sicknesses and things that happen in every, you know, situation, but mostly in ballet. Like the casting changes every day. And so I would stress out about not being cast. And then I'd be the only one that did all the shows, you know? And right. instead of just sitting back and just knowing that there's going to be perspective at some point, you know, the show will always go on. And at some point I'll get to do that part or I'll do that show or whatever. I would take, you know, a little time to just try and have a little perspective. And I think that that helps everything, knowing that there's going to be a sunrise tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then that goes to the next N, navigate the negative. And I love how you talk about perspective in the season, because it is rolling with the punches and it's navigating the negative. You have mentioned like your dad had the failure amnesia. And I think that's a great way to navigate negative. Don't attach to it. And you talked about, you know, the shield of positivity. And I just want to hear you talk about anything else that you do to kind of navigate these really tough careers where you can take it personally.
Honestly, I think navigating the negative is shifting your focus onto something positive, because it's just about your reaction to the negative, right? You are the only one that has the control over your reactions to things. Mm-hmm. So when something happened in my life that was negative, let's say I like broke my foot and it was like really painful or whatever it was, and I was like on stage and I had to crawl myself off. This may or may not have happened. It probably did. But during that moment, it was like, all right, I have to, you know, get to the next place where I like, okay, calm down, just take a deep breath. That's like usually the first step for navigating through negativity, is just to inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. Like every single negative experience I've ever been in, I know will pass if I just take a deep breath and exhale. Like, and then you shift your focus. What's positive about this? I didn't die. There's, you know, a bunch of other girls that are waiting in the wings to do my role. They can do it now. You know, I'm living my dream. I'm taken care of. There's great doctors around me. There's physical therapists waiting in the wings for me. Like, there's so many wonderful things that happen from those experiences. If you're looking at the negativity, you get really anxious and it feels like the walls are closing in on you. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But if you can just take that inhale, and when you exhale, just imagine like everything kind of pushing back and then trying to focus on what's good about the situation. I think there's always good. And if you focus on it and don't sweat the small stuff, then those good things actually start flowing to you much easier. Anyway, there's no obstacles to get to you.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right, because it is that pause in the breath in that moment to just shift you out of that panic, because literally we do go into that fight, flight, or freeze, and the breath helps us reground. Yeah. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, the last T in Flaunt is trust in your truth. And while I think we all have a truth that is unchanged in us, I think we also have a series of truths that flow throughout our lifetime. And, you know, you talked about the change going through puberty. Your truth as a child is a little bit different than a teen, is a little bit different than an adult. Is it a little? And I just want to know a little bit about your unchanged truth, as well as how you flowed throughout those different truths.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's like shifting. I guess finding your truth is something that technically unchanges, but it grows, right?
Yes.
So I think having a foundation, that you know is not built on quicksand, is like, that is your truth. But then you have the foundation and you can start building things on top of it. And that is something that will ever change and ever grow. I mean, like, you know, throughout all of these careers, my identity changed with the careers, but it didn't change who I am as a person. And I think that that is, you know, something that I'm very proud of, because it takes a lot to build a great foundation. And that is the only person that can build it is you. And yes. it's going to help to have people around you that encourage you, But if you don't have that, it's still up to you to fill your brain with positive thoughts and read positive things and learn about positive things and focus on dreams rather than why you can't achieve the dream. You know, what is a dance teacher used to say, what you think about is what you will achieve. And so the lack of focus, you know, it's like building building something that has no rhyme or reason. It's like the sink is not in the right place and the toilet isn't in the bathroom and the, you know, it's like you have to be kind of thoughtful about what you put on the platform that you build in this kind of, you know, foundation. But building the foundation is always the hardest part. You have to do a lot of planning. You have to dream big. And then you have to ask yourself consistently as an adult, if you're dreaming big enough, because knowing what we know now, dreaming as a child, you have to like kind of go back and go, well, no, I didn't know about politics, you know, within a company when I was 7 years old. So now I know that. And so now when I dream, I add in a few little salt and pepper shakes, you know, with my dreams. So yes, as an adult, you have to ask yourself constantly, are you dreaming big enough? But really with trusting yourself is foundation. And then as everything changes and you can level that off and start something new, but that changes constantly. But if you change with it, then it's not as productive.
Right. I think that is so right, because I know I have been knocked off my center, you know, many times in
life. We all have. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And I could have just as easily focused on how awful and unfair and, you know, abuse of power and horrible people and blah, 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 and just quit.
Yeah. Oh, it's so easy to quit. That's why a lot of people do it. It's very easy. It's hard to stick with something long enough to be great. But the longer you stick with it, the fewer people you have, you know, alongside of you. So you feel very alone and like, am I going the right direction? But if you keep sticking with it, you will surely find that that is the key to success. It's just kind of sticking with something long enough. My parents would never let us quit or stop, you know, doing something. They wanted us to do it full out. And if we wanted to, and it was very thoughtful, like, I don't want to do this anymore, this is why, then that's great. That's you shifting your, you know, the building.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad that you brought up that point, because it is true. There's some things where it's like, all right, I need out of this marriage. This is abusive. This person has a mental problem, alcohol problem. Thoughtful. I'm thinking about it and I know what I need and this is what I need to do.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, hands down, that is the one thing I love that my parents taught us as kids, was that a little argument doesn't mean you give up, you know. Yeah. It's that doesn't mean anything at the end of the day, you know.
No, it doesn't. Well, mm-hmm. I have loved your wisdom and your sparkle and, you know, everything that you've shared with us about your truly incredible journey. Something that people have been saying a lot to me lately is with regards to whether it's COVID or the riots going on or all of the things with politics and all of these things is, boy, am I tired of this. Boy, am I tired of this. Boy, am I tired of this. And I think your interview answered so many different questions along when I'm feeling tired of this, what do I do? Well, there's things you can start with. There's things you can lean into. There's things you can fall forward. There's things you can tune out. There's things you can, you know, stop, shift. We have way more control than we think that we do. And make that choice for yourself. If you're tired of it, I get tired of it too. Be proactive and make some choices for yourself, for your own mental health.
Exactly. And you're the one in control. But I think, you know, what I go into Empress for a second is you are the only one that deserves to crown yourself. And so when you take that self-coronation and you really like sit with that and let that crown be on your head and own it, then we can really make a difference in the world by starting with our own world. We don't have to change the world from you know, pointing the finger outwardly. It all comes from within. And if there's one thing to take away, is that you are the empress or emperor of your own life, period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where can listeners find out more about you and your music and your story?
Well, my music is available on all platforms, all social and streaming platforms. And then in one place, if you guys want to go to one place where everything's in one, www.empress-music.com is where I live on the World Wide Web. and please follow me on Instagram. It's my favorite one, empress.music.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your heart. I just felt so much heart and soul coming out from you. So thank you.
Same to you. And thank you for everything that you're doing, especially for just empowering people to really, be the ruler over their own life. It's amazing what you're doing.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love this energy between us and I look forward for more. So listeners, right now today, I want you, since you know I do burlesque and we've got the crowning yourself, I want you to take that crown physically and I want you to choose to crown yourself and then move throughout the rest of your day as if you had that physical crown on your head and just see what a difference it makes. See the different reaction that you have and start owning the power that truly has been within you all along. I hope you all have an amazing week. I look forward to connecting with you again next week. And as usual, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Overcome the need to please and find the uninhibited joy of being exactly who you are right now. Come find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth. Find out more and get your free gift at lauracheadle.com. That's LauraCheadle.com.